Welcome to the podcast for San Francisco Opera. In this episode, we will hear General Director David Gonkley provide a preview of Rachel Portman's The Little Prince, which is part of the 2007-2008 season.
When I was interviewing for this job, the Opera Board made it clear that they wanted the company to be active during the winter and spring months when the San Francisco Ballet traditionally occupies the Opera House. I took them seriously and began looking for opportunities to introduce programming into the first 4.5 months of the calendar year. One way to accomplish this was to co-produce with other Bay Area organizations with common interests. Fortunately, Robert Cole took a shared interest in Rachel Portman's adaptation of Antoine de Saint-Exupéry's short novel, The Little Prince. Set to an excellent libretto by British playwright Nicholas Wright, the piece premiered in Houston in May 2003 and has subsequently enjoyed successful runs in Boston, New York, and elsewhere. It also received BBC and PBS TV showings. The former conducted a competition throughout the UK to discover the treble who would take on the title role. A co-production with Mr. Cole's Cal Performances, the opera will play 6 times between May 2 and May 11, 2008, at Zellerbach Auditorium on the Cal Berkeley campus. Prices are unbelievably reasonable, with orchestra seats costing just $60 and all children's seats at half price. You're probably asking yourself at least 2 questions. 1, is this a children's piece that will hold no importance for me? And 2, will I like the music? Several quotes are in order, all taken from the first wave of book reviews. In 1943, Time magazine deliberated, quote, "There seems to be a controversy whether this new and exquisite volume is intended for children or grown-ups." "It would be my own guess," wrote Catherine Ragey, "that anyone with imagination would welcome it as a kind of angelic visitation in these stressful days." Little wonder why we welcome the visit of the Little Prince. Commonwealth magazine wrote of the book, quote, "Children will enjoy it, but adults will never forget it. It is the story of lost childhood, but only adults can understand all that it means." The Saturday Review, quote, "It is announced as a book for adults, but children will embrace it as they have all great fairy tales. They will understand it, even though its allegory may not be clear to them, because they will approach it and accept its possibilities with a simplicity with which they meet all eternal things." End quote. Oh well, not much unanimity here. You come and decide. When I commissioned the opera, I purposely pursued a composer with a popular style. Rachel Portman is a 44-year-old British woman who received an Oscar for her film score, Emma. More recently, she was nominated for Chocolat and The Cider House Rules. She also composed the scores for Mona Lisa Smile, The Human Stain, and The Lake House. Very few pieces bridge the generations like this story of a pilot who has crash-landed in the Sahara Desert only to meet up with a tiny being from outer space whose perspective on the world is as wise, if not wiser, than the most sophisticated of philosophers. The lack of a childlike simplicity in a sophisticated and material world is portrayed in the first scene of the opera. The pilot relates a childhood experience of his own, specifically, drawing a boa constrictor that had devoured an elephant. Uncomprehending adults were certain it was a hat. Adults, especially the materialistic ones, continue to judge by surface appearances. While the pilot feverishly tries to fix his fallen plane, the prince tells him of his life on his tiny home planet known as asteroid B612 and what befell him on his journey to Earth. His quest is to find a sheep to devour the weeds that are threatening to choke out his beloved rose plant. He asks the pilot to draw him a sheep, and the pilot struggles to do so. Meanwhile, the prince tells of meeting several strange characters on his way to Earth, an egomaniacal king, a businessman who thinks that by counting the stars he will own them, a geographer who has never seen the countries he writes about, a drunkard who drinks to forget he is ashamed that he drinks, and a sympathetic lamplighter who is slavishly tied to pointless orders. Once on Earth, the prince meets a fox who needs to be tamed before he can become a friend, and who speaks of one of the central truths of the piece. Quote, "It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye." The prince also befriends a snake, the eternal symbol of death. To return home to his planet, equipped with a sheep to protect his darling Rose, he will need to die, and the snake will assist him. The pilot senses this is about to happen, but is powerless to stop it. The prince comforts him. "Look for him in the stars," the prince tells the pilot. "They will be a firmament ringing with 500 million little bells." With this image, there is a sense of the transcendental, of things which last forever. It is presented so strikingly that we are made to forget that such an ending to this fairy tale, such an act of self-destruction on the part of the little prince, has no place in the world of Christian ideas, which has always been for us identical with the transcendental. Instead, it comes from the questioning spirit of an unbeliever, in the Christian sense, who finds himself face to face with death and infinity. He takes no comfort from a Judeo-Christian God or the possibility of an afterlife. There are no angels or saints in this modern fairy tale heaven. Just a single, lonely child whose cares have gone out deep into limitless space to a favorite, beloved red rose on asteroid B612. I love this quote by P.L. Travers, the author of the Mary Poppins stories. Quote, "We cannot go back to childhood. We are all too tall now and must stay with our own kind. But perhaps there is a way of going forward to it, or, better still, of bearing it along with us, carrying the lost child in our arms so that we may measure everything in terms of innocence." Everything that Saint-Exupéry writes has that sense of heightened life that can be achieved only when the child is still held by the hand. In The Little Prince, he has given the child a habitation and a name, but the burning, freezing, golden face must have been with him as long as memory. End quote. Read or reread the book. It's only 85 pages long, and there are wonderful illustrations by the author. It might be one of the most delightfully soothing things you have done for yourself in years. And yes, don't forget to come to the opera next May in Berkeley.
Thank you for listening to this preview of Rachel Portman's The Little Prince. For more podcasts and video podcasts, please visit podcasts.sfopera.com. The preceding program was produced in association with Mobilecast Media. For more information, please visit mobilecastmedia.com.